Hello and welcome to episode 73 of the Talk Nintendo podcast. I am your host, Cassie Gibbons, and I'm here today with no one, because actually, this is Perry, it's not Casey. Yeah, you're hearing my voice for the first time, when I was saving my audio from our two-hour-long podcast that we recorded last night, it crashed. Audacity crashed and split all my files into six-second increments. And anyway, I could tell you more, but we lost the episode, and it was my fault. It wasn't Casey's fault. But luckily, everything should be okay for episode 73, because we have two fantastic interviews with some of our friends at Fabraz about Slime Son for the new DLC coming up, and we have an interview with our friends over at Long Hat House for Dandara. So that's going to be this week's episode, and we'll have to have a really big, long What We've Been Playing next week, and I'm sorry, but it's the first time it's really happened, besides our very first episode. Actually, this happened on our very first episode, before we were even posted. But we got to redo our first episode, and we're going to have to redo a bunch of stuff. But just to get it out in time, we're going to do these. So please enjoy. The guys at Long Hat House and Fabraz are seriously the coolest guys ever, which you will see. And first up, well, I think I'll let Casey introduce this next one.
Alrighty, we are back, and we are honored to be joined from two guys over from Fabraz, Fabian Rastifer.
Hello.
And Ben, insert pun here, Miller.
Hello.
It's always better the second time.
It feels like a very straight delivery on my end, like there wasn't a pun in sight there.
Yeah, you should have said Ben Myler. That's what you should have said.
Oh my god, I forgot about that one. Yeah. My role is international man of mystery.
Yes. We have not forgotten about that. I think we've mentioned that joke like every single interview we have.
Yeah.
I hope this doesn't precede me at some point.
No, yeah, you're a legend, Ben. Just real quick, Fabian, could you say what you do at Fabraz?
Yeah, so I'm the founder and generally do most of the art, and then in unison with Ben Miller, game design, and a good chunk of the level design with another colleague of ours who's not here right now, Edgar Castro.
Gotcha. And then I guess, Ben, you're the lead game, or the game. What are you, Ben?
primarily the lead programmer. Work with Fabian on the design side of things. Probably the design part that like I have most direct sort of influence on is the boss fight. So if you get frustrated with those, you can blame me.
Mm. Oh man,
yeah, I've got some frustration to throw your way.
When I'm playing it, I'm gonna go Ben next time.
Shake my fist.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've had you on before, and mm-hmm. we have some exciting new Slime Son content coming to the Switch that I've been patiently waiting for a long time, it seems like, which is Blackbird's Kraken. Why don't one of you give us the pitch for what this is and what it's going to add?
All right. So this is the first big content patch coming to Slime Son on the Nintendo Switch now, called Blackbird's Kraken. It basically is set right after the story of the first game, of the main game, where Slime Son now needs much-needed holiday. So he gets together with his family, gets on a raft, and goes to a tropical adventure to check out their new house in like a nice island resort. You know, the kind of thing you do after unwinding when you just got eaten by a worm. Yeah. Unfortunately, along the way, he is met with Blackbird, who thinks that they are actually out there to steal his treasure. And so in reaction, he summons the legendary Kraken upon them, and they get swallowed up whole again, as slimes tend to deal okay. with.
Okay, so now he's not in a worm, he's in a kraken.
That's right, exactly.
Gotcha. Even so scarier. Now, I mean, that is, and this is basically a whole new campaign, mm-hmm. right? How many levels?
So it's 25 levels, and you can expect the same kind of treatment that we gave the main game. So that means there's also 25 New Game Plus versions, which are heavily remixed. But on top of that, there's a whole new hub world. So instead of Slumptown, you have the Island Resort, which has its own cast of colorful characters. It has its own dojo with challenges, little secrets you can find. And the most insane part, I'd argue, is a customizable house.
That I know. I mean, I was looking at all the features coming, and there's just one thing at mini games and customizable houses, and it seems like you're also trying to tackle the Animal Crossing market.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, I bet one of you was just playing Animal Crossing, and you can tell. I mean, you can just tell by playing through SlimeSon. They're like, oh, they were playing this game when they thought of this, and oh, they were doing this, and. You know, it. I mean that in every nice way. I mean, like, it's just, you know, there's so many
oats. Oh, absolutely. You caught me right-handed. I was basically playing Skyrim, customizing my house. And I was like, I want to be a Slyvakin. So I gotta put some customizable houses in my content patches.
There you go.
Were you playing some old-school Doom as well with the that first-person
shooter? We definitely were doing research for that one.
Uh-huh. We are cheating. Technically, you can look up. So it's not quite classic Doom now, is it?
That was maybe us making a stand on that one.
And then, I mean, there's, just to go through, there's a karting mini game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, what?
Yep.
I mean, it's a vacation. You're on an island. You know, you'd go go-karting when you're on vacation.
I guess.
I mean, Slamson takes the Switch with him, too. Hello.
Yeah. There you go. And also an easy tutorial, mm-hmm. For I guess people who played through the game, coming back, need a good refresher.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that. Or just for people that are not good at video games like me, mm-hmm. You know, it's just nice and accessible. So, I've been playing SlimeSon a lot recently, kind of just, you know, to get ready for it again. Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot of quality of life stuff coming in this update, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Both, there's another content patch that's going to come after this, and both have a good amount of quality of life improvements and new settings.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
The upcoming content patch or the quality of life improvements?
The upcoming.
So basically we technically already released the second content patch on Steam called Sheeple Sequel, and that one will make its way to the Switch as well, hopefully early summer, and it's going to be of equal ginormous size.
Gotcha. And that's, yeah. So I've been, if you follow Fabraz, which is, I think at Fabraz with 2 Z's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you follow that, I've been following, and it's just crazy amounts of updates and content and new things happening that make me really excited for what's coming up.
It's been a really interesting challenge, too, for several reasons. The fact that we released the second DLC on Steam, the first DLC on Switch. We're working on the Xbox and PlayStation ports, which have all the DLC included. Then we're going to bring the second DLC to the Switch after that. Like, that is logistically already hard to promote online without people going, huh?
Right.
But then on top of that, you have to imagine that's us also in the office constantly switching roles. Like, okay, now we're working here. Now we're working there. Now we're working back here. And it's like, didn't we fix that bug already? No, actually, we fixed that on the Xbox version, but we didn't fix it on the Nintendo Switch version yet.
And
It's been logistically interesting.
My only hope is that we implicitly just learn how to juggle through this.
Yeah.
Very good. So I was playing, and I just thought, you know me, I always coming up with ideas for things. And I was thinking that, you know how Shovel Knight, you know how they have like the original campaign?
Mm-hmm.
I think they, what is it, like Shovel of Hope or something like that?
Yeah.
I wonder if, yeah, anyway, I was thinking you could, this is an idea, you know. You could rebrand the original campaign of SlimeSon, and SlimeSon, Welcome to Slump Town. you know,
that works. That
yeah.
works.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I playing through the, I mean, if people don't know what Slamson is, I mean, they should, and they, and if they're watching, yeah, if they're watching the YouTube video right now, they can see exactly what it is. But, you know, it's a very hard, but fun platformer, hard, but you know, it's one of those things where you'll die a billion times, but you're instantly starting again.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, yeah.
Stronger after each death.
Yes, exactly. And you know, I think it's something that I did not really get into the first time around playing it. Was the customization, not only, I mean, just of everything. You can have actual different. You can play as different slimes.
Mm. Yep.
And that's like,
and they all play different.
Yeah, and like they actually have different play styles. Like, I figured out there's one that can jump higher and is more floaty. And mm-hmm. I'm like, Kawaii-san. Oh my goodness!
Kawaii-san is a really popular play style.
Yeah, yeah. It's a favorite for speedrunners.
Yep. Is it?
Yeah. Okay. So the cool thing is that Blackbird's Kraken for the Switch also finally brings online leaderboards to the Switch. So you'll finally be able to compare, you know, your times online with everyone for each level. And what's really cool is that next to each time, we actually display what playstyle they used. So what you'll end up seeing is like preferences. Okay, like this level gets the best times if you use Wife-san, while this one gets the best time if you use Kawaii-san. So it's really fun to see that stuff.
Oh man, I bet they get very into just testing to see what's going to be best for each course.
Mm-hmm.
Speedrunners get really crazy.
Oh yeah, we have like, I think there's like even a whole speedrunning tutorial on Slamson of like tricks and things you can abuse. It's amazing.
Yeah, like I saw you posting about the ones like of never touching the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you can see where Slamson's been, because mm-hmm. he leaves a nice trail.
Yep.
And so yeah, I mean that's crazy. I mean, so how, I mean, you know, how has it been, you know, launching this IP over the past year, seeing it grow? How does that feel to have a community of people playing? I mean,
absolutely awesome, obviously. Just amazing. I think neither Ben nor I nor anyone in the team really expected to work on this game almost more actively a year after launch than we did before launch. It's just been a ride. It's been awesome.
And seeing the community sort of eating up even more with like content updates and actually sticking with it and still having people put up times and trying to like submit the game for like, you know, summer games done quicker with different speedrunning competitions.
Yeah, that's fun.
Fingers crossed, by the way. We have a bunch of speedrunners that are now grouping up and organizing themselves to get into SGDQ. So I really hope that happens.
Oh man, I hope so. I love watching those speedrunning charity events, and I would love to see Slamson up there on the big screen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, what's the hashtag we have to use for this campaign?
I just Slamson and then tag. Let's see.
Hashtag get slimed.
Nitro Koopa, which is Nitro, and then like Koopa with two O's, and then Gigya is Blues. Those are the two really big ones.
Oh, okay.
Now, when you're planning DLC, you know, obviously you've got two really large DLC packs here. Mm. Now, were they ideas that you wanted to get into the original game, but then just whatever, you know, time constraints or just manpower sort of pushed to the side? Or did you sort of finish the original and then like, let's go back to the drawing board and see what we could sort of add to this game, you know, that's going to be both fun and interesting for players?
I'd say it's a bit of column A and column B, right, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I think we lean towards like the latter, but there's definitely some like mechanics that we took a lot of the campaign as like an opportunity to introduce mechanics sort of slowly, or actually every couple levels like we did in the main campaign, of like bringing back ideas we didn't quite have time to polish or that we couldn't find the right context for, and getting a more like more involved level design around them.
Yeah, and like for obviously it's just really great putting this content out for people to play, but it was also for us a relatively sensible thing to do while we're in the porting process to other consoles, because that means that half of the team has free time basically to work on new content while the other half of the team is busy with porting, QA, yada yada.
Now, right. Another question I had with DLC, especially, you know, in the world of paid DLC is just sort of the norm, you know, for, you know, most, you know, bigger title games. Now we're starting to see, you know, especially with indie developers, the free DLC. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could see a smaller pack with free DLC sort of, oh, it gives them a little extra, but these are really substantial additions to the game. Like, how did you guys sort of decide to release them for free?
We messed up, didn't we?
yeah, seriously.
Wait, we could charge for those?
Yeah.
We weren't told.
Or like full-on sequels.
Yeah, they're huge. Honestly, we just decided to go with that for this particular project, though I think it's totally also sensible to charge for this kind of content, because there's a lot of work and challenges behind those things. I can understand indie going either free or paid. In our case, it was basically more of a, this is what we wanted to do for this particular project, because we thought it was fitting. It was nice to extend the playtime and life of the community for everyone playing the game, and yeah.
And eventually, when this does come physical, you can put all of the all the stuff on there. You know, includes Blackbird's Kraken and Sheeple's sequel.
Yep, Super Slime Edition.
So exactly. So I mean, it's like you can still use it as another qualifier for content, you know what I mean, for added content.
Yeah.
So do you guys want to just go ahead and just confirm it now that it is coming physical? I mean, you can let the cat out of the bag, it's fine.
Keep your eyes peeled, there's interesting stuff abound.
Perfect, because I
mean anything.
Yeah, I have a slot, it's right in between Cave Story Plus and The End Is Nigh on my shelf, right there for Slime Song. So
we're,
it's
brothers,
ready.
Basically, there. It's good company.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. That's something I want to see happen. Well, it's funny. I don't know. Forgive me if there's like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a whole world of levels like this. Another thing that I was playing like a month ago, playing a Game Boy Color. Or a regular Game Boy game on the Game Boy Advance, so it has those like added colors. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And I was like, this kind of reminds me of Slime Son because it's a very small color scheme. Mm-hmm. I was thinking that would be cool, also in Slime Son, to have like levels with that color scheme. You know, like with the Game Boy color scheme.
I mean, we do have a shader you can unlock in Slime Town that mimics the old school green Game Boy.
Yeah, it's true.
There's also now a feature that we add. Is this in Kraken?
Oh, they know I'm that one.
It's really crazy. We add a color slider that you can, you know, there's three sort of primary ranges of colors that you use in Slime Song. You can sort of use a slider to customize those to whatever.
And don't you know they invented that one?
Yeah. No, I came up with the
Oh my God. Actually, yes, that's true. I forgot the origin story.
Yeah. Well, you guys are the slider. I was thinking it'd be fun to do a, you know, a rant so you could just hit the random boom. And then like 5 minutes later
it's like, that was a good idea.
Like, no, here it is. It's like, okay. It's easy to make video games.
Yeah. My kind of hope is that there'll be people sharing different like really appealing settings for the slider and just sharing around with the combos.
Yeah, these are shareable, like they're number, like you can get the numbers for them, right?
So basically the way it's implemented, it's we call it a hue slider because it directly affects the hue of the three primary colors that you can affect in the game. So blue, red, green. And basically that means you can change any of these three colors to any other three colors, to any color at all. And the sliders indicate what kind of numerical value you've used. So if somebody could share like, I don't know, -10, 50, 110, and that would then be the exact same for everyone else.
Yeah, that is such a great idea, and it really capitalizes on that five color scheme that you have. Like other games can't really do this because they have too many colors.
and it's exactly,
you know, like your game is based around these colors, so you have it's so simple to swap out. It's such a great idea.
It also helps.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it also unlocks the true hard mode where just you set everything to a single color.
Oh, oh man.
Only for the most serious gamers.
Exactly.
That would kind of surprise me, some crazy incentive at Summer Games Done Quick.
Exactly. I have self-challenged myself during QA because, you know, I have to replay the game so often. So I've already finished the entire game playing it with one hand, which I'm kind of proud about.
What?
But yeah, but another challenge.
A joke, and he took it serious.
Wait, on what? PC?
Keyboard, yeah. So just using the WASD space and shift.
I wanted to ask both of you because I was playing. Have you guys, on without using cheater developer mode, gotten all of the apples?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the amount of times we have to test for that, we easy.
All right. Well, I was hoping you go. Oh no, not even we can do that. Trying to make me feel better, but
that would be
no. We've done it like a billion times.
Could you imagine how mean that would be, though? Like, basically, have collectibles that are actually impossible to get.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we kind of mandated sort of Mario Maker rules. We have to actually finish
this. Yeah.
Well, in my defense, sometimes it feels like they are impossible to get.
Right. Oh yeah, no, they're tough.
No, but you just need. Yeah, you just need. Like I said, but that's the added. Such a great amount of skill, because I mean, otherwise, like Slime Son, it definitely is tough. But if you're not going for the apples, then it's definitely way more doable.
Yeah,
yeah. Some of those apples are just cruel.
But yeah, it's such a classic approach of just optional difficulty, right?
Yes, and the reward is so good with those apples, because you can buy all the customizations and not just custom, like not just aesthetic, but like I said, like. New slimes to play with. They're really great. It's a really great, huge game. I mean, it is a lot of game, and a lot more game is coming.
Yeah, we like to say that Blackbird is around 30-35% content increase.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's just this DLC. So, I mean, and like I just from what I've seen of Sheeple's sequel, that is going to be the next.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be even better and even cooler, and I just can't wait.
Yeah. You're really going to like it, I think, for we very much go into the direction of all those playstyle changes and going even farther with sort of how we shift up the way that you control the main character.
Yeah, the gimmick in the second one is that you team up with two friends who you can play as Marble and Red Shadow, which you might have encountered in the regular Slam Sun game. And so Shadow is particularly interesting because his main gimmick is that every time you dash, you change color, meaning that you can then either morph through green or red based on what your color is after that dash.
Oh man, that's awesome.
It's really makes for super bizarre levels because your brain just has huge difficulties with handling those state changes all the time. Because now you got to think about morphing, you got to think about color changing, and we bring those morph blocks back that also change based on whether you're morphing or not. And so you've got some like a real good brain teasers there.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That DLC has another, 20 levels, right, with new game plus modes?
Yeah, plus a couple of remix levels that bring back all these with the new play styles. So, like, it's about the equal size of Blackbird. Blackbird only is, I'd say, arguably a little bigger on the Switch than it was initially on PC because it brings a couple of unique Switch-related things. So, obviously, the leaderboards and stuff that weren't there at the start. And it also comes with a lot of, like, loading time improvements. Performance improvements in a couple of scrolling levels that were not perfect. But yeah, otherwise it pretty much compares in size.
Wow.
That's awesome. And that one's going to be coming for free as well, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Now, before we go, since I have some sort of crazy power into making content for this game, I just want to mention, and I was just thinking this as I was playing Slime Son today, how, because you've mentioned this on Twitter before, Fabian, about a level maker.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And it's something that I wish I could, I wish I had the power to do that.
DLC pack number 3.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And I can't, you know, I found out that I like to create levels a lot more than most people. I think Casey's more of a playing other people's created levels than a creator, right? Is that fair, Casey?
Yeah. I mean, I'll mess around with them, but generally, yeah, I feel like my levels are pretty poor. I'd rather just play other people who knew what they're doing.
Right.
Like, one of my favorite games from last year was Chicken Wiggle that came out.
Yeah, and it had a level engine, right? Yeah.
Which has all the levels in the game were made with that level editor. And it's awesome. And I just know that with the crazy amounts of of stuff in Slime Slam, like, I think one of my favorite little things is a little boat that you jump on. It's so cute. But I could just see like so many crazy things happening, especially like if it's like, you know, limitless for creating, kind of like Super Mario Maker, you can just make things really wacky.
No, we'd absolutely love doing that. The truth is basically it kind of depends about how Slime Sand performs in the next couple of months, also with the impending Xbox and PlayStation releases, because we know that the time investment to make it right,
is
a 3 to 6 month deal.
Easily.
But we would love it. I mean, oh my God, that'd be amazing. That would also increase just the life that game could have almost indefinitely. And I'd be so down for that.
So you just made it clear and simple. People just have to buy the game.
That's right.
People need to buy it, and then you will 100% do it. So
I will promise that then we will give you a content pack 3, which is the level editor.
Perfect. Boom!
I was gonna say there'd definitely be a couple double dippings if a physical release comes out. I know that's for sure.
Casey, if you have anything you want in this game, just tell me, and then I'll tell them to do it, and they will do it.
What a superpower!
You real such terrible powers.
Remember, I not to toot my own horn here, but I am the one responsible for this game even coming to Switch. We actually have a real proof on this podcast around PAX. And you guys will be at PAX East this year.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so definitely.
We will definitely be doing more chatting with you there, hanging out with you.
Can't wait
to get that your merch.
We haven't got a plushies on hand, of course.
Oh, yes. My little slime son. I can't wait.
Oh, man. Yep. I'm just going to duct tape that to a hat somewhere.
Then you got to get the Dragon Quest slime and they can hang out together.
Yes,
oh, that'd be amazing.
Kara, somebody we know from Slime Rancher, has a little Slime Sand plush next to her Slime Rancher plushes, which is also amazing.
That is so cool.
That
is so much fun.
We slime people have to stick together, you know? I mean, that's literally what we do. We're slime.
Now, when are not dealing with Slime Sand, which, like you said, you've got plenty to keep you busy with. You're also working on bringing another game to the Switch, isn't that right?
Yeah. So that we kind of teased that, I think, the last time we were on with you guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, the big, big thing this year for us is that we're dipping our toes into micro-publishing. In this case, a game called Spirit Sphere DX by Anthorn. It's basically a deluxe version of a game that already came out on Steam, which we absolutely loved and wanted to work with them. It's basically new stages, new characters, new modes, polished up gameplay. It's going to be absolutely amazing. To summarize it in one sentence is tennis if you could hurl fireballs at people.
When I put in my notes, here,
that's amazing.
Badass
Zelda tennis is a really good summary.
Another good one.
Yeah, it's just super, super fun. 2, 3, or 4 player kind of game that you play, you know, while on sofa in front of your TV, just having a good time. We are also working on improving and expanding the single player campaign. So even alone, it'll be a lot of fun to unlock characters and stuff. But the meat, the real juice, the real fun will be just hanging out with people, you know, play around a Towerfall and then play around the Spirit Sphere. And it's going to be amazing.
Hate mode looks really cool with the two players.
Yes. Isn't that such a genius idea? So that was entirely Antoine's idea. He wanted to come up with some sort of cool concept that utilizes something that only the Switch can do. And the idea that he had was let's make handheld two-player compatible by having it be played vertically, each person holding one Joy-Con while it's attached.
It really does.
And my hope is it'll bring out the very worst sort of couch co-op player bad habit tendencies of like trying to jostle them and or pull it away from their hands and stuff.
We take no responsibility for any broken switches.
Oh man. Yeah, well, Nintendo's gonna like you for that then. They'll get people buying more Switches.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Joy-Cons, you know, yeah. When they rip them off and throw them at the wall.
Yeah.
But, no joy there.
But yeah, this is generally a game that we picked up because we loved it, playing it ourselves, and we wanted it to have a second life and more attention, the attention that it kind of deserves. And so we hope that we can give it that with it being on the Switch, which really just is the perfect platform for it.
Well, you can say blank is the perfect platform. Yes. You know, it's for blank. Yeah. Now, Spirit Sphere DX, around when is that coming out? I mean,
late spring is the tentative deadline, right?
Oh, late spring. That's not too far off.
No, it's not too far.
That'll be like very soon.
Yeah, we'll have that at PAX East too, so you guys can definitely check it and play on site.
Awesome. Perfect. Awesome. Perfect. Well, okay. Well, to wrap things up, we got February 22nd is the day that Blackbird's Cracking is going to be coming out on Switch, which is very exciting. Make sure to go and download Slime Son right now. Available on the eShop for how much was it again?
$14.
$13.99. Gotcha. Right? That's American.
That's
it's probably like $30 Canadian. Just kidding.
I'm sorry, we're not responsible for that.
No, it's not $40 Canadian. But okay. Well, Fabian and Ben, thank you so much for coming on again.
Of course.
Thanks for having us.
So much fun.
And if you guys could please tell us where we can find you on Twitter and online and everything.
Yeah, so definitely follow me on Twitter at Fabraz with two Z's, Fabrazz. We did just open up a Discord too, so if you want to hang out and chat, join that. It's on my Twitter profile. And then otherwise, our homepage is fabraz.com with one Z, Fabraz.com.
And my Twitter handle, I'm less prolific than Fabian, but it's at Strange Bloops. I'm tweeting more, so maybe once every month or so. So that's on the up.
Yeah.
He's still alive.
Yeah. You know, just enough to sort of not trigger the dead man switch. But I'm also on the Discord, so if you ever want to come and chat, I'll be there.
Yeah, the Discord is cool. You guys should join.
Yeah, yeah. And I just do want to say that like Fabian's you know, Fabraz is such a it's a really fun a really fun page to follow. Page? Is that what you call it? What's a Twitter thing?
Very good Twitter to follow.
That's how I'd say it.
It is, because they post frequently and it's just exciting all the time because there's
beautiful
so much
gifts of gameplay.
Yeah, the gifs are beautiful.
So many gifs.
And if you make the right reply, you might just, you know, direct an entire week of comment work.
Yeah, Ben's like, God damn it, Kirby suggested another thing. I gotta work on it.
Why do you think I only tweet once a month? Too dangerous.
I know. I mean, there's just so much fun. But yes, okay, well, we could keep rambling on about stuff, but let's not. Let's end this. Thank you again, guys.
Of course.
And yes, please watch out for more interviews on NWR-TV. And of course, listen to Talk Nintendo Podcast. Casey, do you have anything else to say?
Sure don't.
All right. Well,
I think you covered it up pretty good.
Well, I think it's a closer.
All right. I want to have a big thanks to Fabian and Ben for coming on again. Great guys. And speaking of great guys, we have Joe and Lucas, developers over at Long Hat House, the makers of Dandara. So we had me and David Lloyd had a great talk with them. So that's what we're going to play now. Please enjoy. All right, welcome to the Talk Nintendo Podcast.
And also, welcome to NWR TV. My name is Perry Burkham. I'm here with fellow Nintendo World Report staffer David Lloyd.
Good night, Perry.
Good night. Yeah, exactly. And then a very good night to a couple of great guys from Long Hat House. We have Lucas and Joe.
Hello. How are you guys?
Hello, I'm Lucas.
Yeah.
So these are a couple guys from Long Hat House, which just came out with a game I've been waiting for over a year, and that is Dandara. And I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes, exactly.
It's kind of like, it's Dandara?
Yes.
Dandara.
Okay. Ooh, and then you have like the little R. Dandara.
Yeah, I don't need people to pronounce it like perfectly.
you and Fia from Zoink. Dandara and Fia. So Lucas, can you tell me what your role is at Long Hat House?
Oh, actually, we both have the same role.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, we are both, I would say, the developers, but we don't do the art or the music or the songs.
So we do the rest.
Yeah, we do like programming and the administration side and the creative, like the game design and level design.
Okay. So you're the programmers, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you got... Yeah. So, I mean, is it just you two that do the programming?
Yeah. We do everything else that is not art or sound.
That is not art, right? It's weird that we call, like, music not art.
Uh-huh.
Drawing.
Yeah.
Animation. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So where did Dandara start? I mean, who came up with the idea? Obviously, it's heavily inspired in many aspects by Super Metroid and other Metroid games. So where did it all come from?
Well, actually, like in the beginning, it wasn't inspired by any Metroidvania. The aspect came afterwards. Like the first thing, like the very beginning of this game was like a mobile game.
Yeah,
where like me and Lucas, we were very small developers. Well, we are doing like our first games, and after some games, we started on this new prototype, but we still like felt that we couldn't leave the mobile market yet. Like, easier to.
It was really hard to. To try to get into consoles and
Steam was like overflooded, I guess.
Also, it didn't really like Greenlight, and like for Greenlight, it was easier if you had a big campaign or like a Kickstarter campaign. And we were like, no, we want to focus on development, so let's do it mobile. So it's
we wanted to focus on quality, and also like if you do like a console game more or less for Steam. You don't get like you go straight to the sea of a bunch of other games.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But
yeah.
If you do a console game like a premium experience for mobile, we thought it would be like a new thing, right? Because there's not much of that. So
yeah.
So yeah, the first idea was like doing action and moving in a cool way. In the touchscreen, like it could be any touchscreen, even Switch touchscreen does it. And without using like drawing the controller on top of the screen, like we don't like that. We wanted to know, like to maybe prove that it's possible to do something like that. Like
yeah.
Doing a cool action game in the touchscreen, using the touchscreen, like making an experience for. Like tailored for that.
Yeah, I mean, so you're saying like the roots of the very game are really tied down to mobile, to the mobile platform. I mean, that's what you're.
Yeah, like that's how it started, right? So
right, the very early roots.
Then we have like this idea where you would move with swipes in one side of the screen, and you would shoot with swipes on the other side.
Yeah, each thumb has like a different function, but.
So we started with that and we implemented and tested it. And prototype, and then after a year, yeah, but like after I think some months,
like
2 months, we were like, okay, we have this movement and action, but what are we gonna do with that? And then it would be like, we started thinking, would it be like a level-based game that you pass each level, or like,
mm-hmm.
like about the exploration?
Yeah, we wanted dungeons. Like, we were playing Dark Souls at the time and really got crazy into Dark Souls.
Also
read Resident Evil as well. Like, we got crazy into Resident Evil in the middle of the development. As well.
And I was playing Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some things like the dungeons, and you know, you have like this dungeon, you clear it, and then you have a boss fight. We started with this idea, and we kind of got from like the Metroidvania that we could have a broader exploration.
Yeah, we didn't like thought about Metroidvania before. Like it came to exist, and then oh, damn, this is a Metroidvania. We didn't realize it. Like
Metroidvania words. To explain the game,
yeah,
but it's not because we were making the trend menu from. It's just a way to explain.
Well, that,
and it is in the trend.
Yeah, of course.
The jumping mechanics, it makes a whole lot more sense when you think of it as started on mobile, because I can totally see how, that it, you know, like you said, when you're trying to avoid that controller of like left and right movement. That
right.
I can see the swiping of like, okay, I'm going to jump from this area to this area, and then you're using your finger to get to it. So that totally makes sense to me. How like that's a very clever way of getting around.
Yeah, it's
like you said, having a mapped controller.
Yeah, you can try the original thing right now on the Switch.
Yeah, it's funny that people who see the game being played like on controls, they are like, I can't imagine this game on mobile, like.
Yeah,
to move there.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm just saying, it's so funny to talk about the touchscreen controls and that it all started there. And that's where the inspiration for the movement was probably partial to the mobile screen. And yet I played through the whole game without even thinking about it. Like it's a console game. It's a Switch. I mean, and then what a perfect marriage on the Switch to literally be able to do both. That's like the only console you can do that, right? I mean, but you released this day and date with mobile on Switch, is that right?
Yeah.
That is so interesting. Yeah, and so, and is it just those two platforms right now?
No, it's in all of them.
It's all of them, like PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox as well.
Oh, it's out for those as well right now?
Yes.
Oh man. See, shows how much I know. I just
what
you know, if it's out for Switch,
which,
I get on Switch.
Yeah. That's right. Which console are you seeing the most success with?
Sorry, Dave.
Sorry. I was just asking, like of the platforms, like which one do you see the most success with right now?
Yeah, it's definitely the Switch.
It has like the both options, and it has like the HD Rumble, which we did some cool tricks with it. And, it feels better, like it's portable. It's
the best console. You can just say it's the best console.
Yeah.
It's a platform of choice for any game ever. It's just it's just how it is. Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, so you know. We can get deeper into the game, like of what it is. I mean, you're collecting salt from enemies. Now, a lot of people don't realize that in Brazil, everyone is made out of salt, and gravity is really weird and works really in weird ways down there. And I know that was a heavy, you know, heavy inspiration in the making, but it's pretty crazy. Like a lot of people will have they'll have lunch on the ceiling. And, you know, it's just one of those things, but you really captured that in Dandara.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you don't have lunch in the city, with everybody else, it's like really offensive. So there's that.
Yeah, no, but honestly, the salt, I mean, where did that idea, I mean, does that originate from any, I mean, I know that Dandara is like the folk legend type thing. And I know that's, you know, part of it, but is salt anything, or did you just come up with that for fun?
There were, it's like the salt carries this story and like some, yeah, like it was like a form of currency, like way in some earlier civilizations. And also like the expression, like take that with a grain of salt, like it can mean like wisdom.
Like take that with
knowledge. Like
that,
yeah, like
it has
like,
that meaning. It has a meaning that is related to the thought. I don't know. Like the thing of the salt being salary. Also like there are like this ideas that if you don't have salt, you are going crazy. Like they had like expressions like this in the past.
Right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I don't remember properly right now, like the expression, but it's like you don't have like salt, or you run out of salt. So
yeah, that's a good expression. You've run out of salt, and that's gonna happen. Oh no, go ahead. I was just gonna say go ahead. Sorry, I kind of cut you off there.
Oh, so it kind of fits in the game.
Yeah, I mean, it makes for the good particle effects and all that. And a lot of people, something that I didn't realize, that I probably should have realized from the very beginning about Dandara, is that it's a very hard game. It's tough. Now, I don't mean that it's very hard in all the right reasons. You will lose your salt. You will lose lots of salt. And salt's what you need to upgrade. I just think that, you know, reading reviews and seeing a bunch of people's reactions to the game, they realize, oh my goodness, this game is really hard. It's not just a cakewalk or anything like that. So, I mean, what do you guys think about the difficulty of the game?
Well, like, it's certainly is on purpose, right? We wanted a really hard game. And it's designed around it. People complain sometimes that it's a bit far where you die and you have to get back to it. But it's like, it's designed in a way that it takes like a couple of minutes to get back to where you were. And
I mentioned this on our podcast a few weeks ago, that the traversal, once you get it down, and I got it down within a few minutes, I felt really good. I think that everything feels really good. Some people I've heard that it takes a little longer, but it gets up pretty fast to where they can get it. But I mean, it's so simple that, you know, you can be planning your next jump while you're jumping in that split second and just all the way go throughout the screen. So it's a lot different from like Super Metroid, where you're just running. It's like, no, you're ricocheting off like a bullet through these levels. And that was a big part where it's like, where, yeah, like you say, like, you know, every time you die, you go back to the campfire and then you lose your salt. And it's funny, 'cause usually when you get upset, you're called salty, but this would be your anti-salty. But then I just found out it's like, it's one of those things where exactly you'll get to where you're wanting to go really quickly to where you were.
The game has like this, the difficulty is a barrier that also comes from like not knowing what's ahead.
Yeah.
And you get to learn it. So like, it's clear that if you get to a point and then you die, getting to the same point is a lot easier now. Yeah. And you can like recharge your, like you can retrieve your salt, right? So you get to the point easier, and now you killed the enemies again and you have more salt. So it's like, there are ways that like dying and like making the game hard, but it doesn't, like, people are saying that it's very punitive, but it doesn't punish that in a way that you won't go forward. Like, it punishes you in a way that you get stronger as you go forward.
Yeah, I feel like the most valuable resource in the game is information, actually, not salt.
Yeah, because you do it like three times, and then you are like you are doing it really quickly now to know how the level is set, know where the enemies are and how to kill them.
And some encounters, like, we wanted you to be, like, pretty strategic with it. Like, think about it, not just rush blindly, right? Like, really feel like you, if you come up with a strategy, you're going to win. You're going to have bigger chances or something like that. Make you think. Don't treat you like a...
Yeah.
Like you want, right? You want things.
Yeah, we want people to be paying attention.
Yes, right? Like exactly.
To be immersed.
Yes. I mean, I also talked about this with the immersion. I was playing the game mostly handheld, really enjoying it, not completely devoting all of my attention into it, like maybe sitting in at work in the break room or something like that. But I a few days after I went home, my wife was doing something away. So I just went down and I have like a big, like 130-inch projector in my basement screen. And I played Dandara and I put like the volume way up and I sat there and it was just like completely changed my view of the game and the atmosphere and everything, which is just, it's so much fun. And I think that's exactly what you said, because it's so hard and difficult that it adds to the difficulty and it makes it so you need to be more aware of what you're doing. And then when you're more aware, you're taking all the atmosphere in that much more. And then suddenly you have this very insane experience where it's really hard, but you're devoting time and effort to it, so you're getting better. And yeah, I mean, it was kind of a magical experience when I played it, you know, playing through. And that was just kind of like, you know, like when you, the feeling of playing a game that you really love, like when it clicks, it totally clicked. And I loved it. It's not that I didn't like it before, but it's just like, you know, it's like, oh my goodness. And you felt like, I felt like I was Dandara.
Nice. That's cool.
That's incredibly cool to hear.
Yeah. Although I am a white man with shorter hair, but and I don't own, I actually own a blue scarf, but that I wear all the time. It's a blue scarf. It's a Romanian soccer team, or they call it football over there. But yeah. You probably don't know anything about soccer being from Brazil.
Yeah, our sport is ice hockey.
There you go.
I just wanted to go back to the difficulty for one quick second. Like, now that the game is out and you've actually done an update, like, do you still look for feedback from the community for different aspects of the game, or do you feel like you kind of nailed it now and more, it's more just getting the message out at this point?
There are things that we are listening to, like about the difficulty. There are moments that maybe like frustration only gets worse and worse, right? And like in the end, when you get like the rush of winning, actually, I think if you're too frustrated, it doesn't get better. I think I don't know, but. What I mean is, like, maybe we should be aware of parts that are too frustrating or something.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
People are asking for, like, 50 levels or something. And we are.
Yeah, it's...
Because if someone is, like, not enjoying the game because of that, and we can do something that helps them enjoying it, so we are.
No,
it's always a balancing act, because like for me personally, I prefer the hard, like, games with more difficulty. I just find them more satisfying, because when you do move on, you feel like you've earned it. But I do know there is some sensitivity out there with difficulty, but I can totally understand how it's kind of this balancing act between not wanting to make it easy just to get through things and yet making it still accessible, like, you know.
There is also because the game was designed to be difficult, like making it easier might make it worse. Like if some people are getting, if you don't like have the mindset that it's hard or something like that, and then you are playing it in a different way than we expected. Then there is another thing that I was going to talk about. Like we don't have like so many upgrades. Like you have like in the camp, you can upgrade like 4 options, right? And I really like games where the thing that evolves mostly is the player, right? So indeed, you are a much better player and not like a much better character, right? With like superpowers.
Who can tank everything and just go on with it.
Yeah, I really like when the player got better and, you know, like he can kill everything now, but it doesn't matter if he has like 10 hearts or 3 hearts. Like if he starts the game again, he's gonna nail it because he's better, not the character.
Absolutely. And you know, there was a little game called Splatoon 2 that came out this last year. There was a mode on it called Salmon Run, and it was the new mode basically. And the funny thing is that this mode wasn't available all the time. It was available at random times to play with your friends. People would be like to Nintendo, why would you make a mode not available all the time to play? You know, and basically Nintendo responded, we know what we want you to experience. We have a vision, and they said this is kind of a Japanese thing, but we have a vision of what the game, of what we want it to be for you. And even though it might seem rude, we have this vision that we want you to experience. And so, and it wasn't just with the Salmon Run and stuff, but I mean, you can see that aspect in tons of Nintendo games where, yeah, you might not agree with it, but they are the designers and they get to choose what. Now, of course, you can disagree with it, and that is completely fine. And that's not, you know, it's not like, I don't mean like suck it up or anything. I just mean, I like to respect the ideas that the designers want me to experience. I really do like, and instead of maybe complaining, maybe trying to think why they did something. And I'm not saying that's why I love Dandara. And I just feel like an appreciation for what it is instead of maybe, well, it's too hard. Why isn't there an easy mode? And just like what you said, it's just like, yeah, but like that's not easy to make an easy mode. It might make the game awful. And it's just one of those things where, sure, of course, in some situations, it'd be nice to have it easier. But to me, I think it's awesome. I think Dandara is awesome. It fits well on the Switch. It plays perfect. You know, and it's one of those things where I've I don't think it's a game that will click with every single person, unless they have a 130-inch screen in their basement and they can blast it with the speakers. Then I think it probably will click with everyone. But other than that, no. But before we go, what is the future of Long Hat House? What's going on now? Are you just guys like partying? Like, is that what you're doing now? Like, we're done.
That's actually a really hard question because we didn't decide yet.
We are kind of working on patches, I guess.
Yeah, but there are like some things that we saw people asking that make sense. Obviously, like some people don't like the rumble, or even like some people can't stand the rumble.
Yeah, like accessibility stuff.
Yeah, so we are thinking on those things, and it's like a few options. There are like some bugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't just abandon the game right now.
Yeah.
Well, of course not.
So, yeah,
I mean,
like this, and then next, we don't know yet.
We don't know yet. There may be talk from DLC, but
yeah,
we don't know yet.
DLC confirmed. David, put an article up on the site.
We are.
We are only going to do DLC if it's free. That's I can confirm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So would you guys, so like for the next project, you think you would be looking at something brand new, like a new concept sort of thing, or?
Yeah, I mean, if we do it, we're not gonna we're not gonna announce it right away. We're gonna like experiment with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if really you want like, to announce it right now, that's fine.
Yeah, we're really like trying new gameplays and mechanics, and really when you do that, when you try new gameplays, it starts to look like shit.
Right.
And is your experimenting on the Switch now? Because like you were saying, when you first started developing Dondera, it was more it was for the mobile. Like, has this experience made you like go Switch first now, like console first, or?
We are, yeah. It's hard to say. Like, yeah. We have some experience with the mechanics we tried already. I don't know if it's gonna be. Depends on what's
depends on a lot of factors.
Yeah, that's the mechanics. The mechanics drives it. Yeah, it's like, hey, let's try this, and then it might be for any platform.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, no, makes sense.
For the Ouya.
For the Apple TV.
For the Ouya.
For the Apple TV. Yeah. The Amazon Fire. Yeah.
You joke, Perry, but I still have an Ouya.
I still have an Ouya.
That surprised me.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I bought games for it.
I bought a few games too.
They have really cool fighting games.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
Well, I like that one. There was the ones that you throw bombs, and there was like the different types of bombs and stuff. That was the first game I played when I first opened it up.
Before this gets into our Ouya memories, let's save that for a separate time, David. You can do something with that. But
it's not every day you meet another Ouya owner.
Not every day.
That is true. But Lucas and Joe, thank you so much for coming on again. It was a pleasure. Real quick, are you guys coming back to PAX East?
I don't think so. Probably like 99% though.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
No, I just figure, Dondara's out. So, like, I don't know how, you know. I totally get it. If you do and you want to hang out, you can hang out with us. Just saying.
Oh, that's gonna be awesome! Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yes, thank you so much for coming on, David. Thank you for joining us and providing some Ouya impressions. You know, I do like that, but it's just we're running out of time. It's really late in Brazil, so.
It's fine. Keep talking. About Ouya.
Well, I'm gonna be honest. My wife is sitting in the other room with tacos, and I really am hungry.
No!
I'm gonna be honest here. No, I could talk with you for another hour, but we'll cut it off. So just because I'm gonna say what I promised. I'm not gonna force you guys to be on for 8 hours for the because like I said, YouTube says we can stay on for 8 hours. So just say it. No.
You don't want a seven-hour Ouya marathon?
No, I don't. And this is the kind of things that happens when Casey's not here, and I have to end stuff, and I'm so bad, and he's really good at it, but I just keep talking, and it's really annoying. So, David, do you wanna say goodbye?
Sure. Again, thanks for interviewing with us. It's great getting insight into how the games are made. As big fans of the game, just hearing about the details of how things come up is great. And we look forward to, we're going to be watching out for any new games that you have coming one day soon.
Nice. Cool. Thanks. And thank you guys also for inviting me. It was very cool.
Oh, yeah, yes.
The opportunity.
Oh, yes. And I just want to say before I head out, Dondara was everything I wanted it to be, and it's awesome. And I'm really, really happy for you guys.
Yeah,
I'm really happy for you guys that for your first kind of big game and everything. Everyone I know really likes the game. So, congrats.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys later.
See ya.
And thus ends Lost episode of 73. Thank you again to Slimeson and Dondara for coming on. Here's a an utmost apology to my buddy Casey for losing my audio. I'm very sorry. I hope you'll forgive me, as well as the rest of our listeners. But you know what? All the games we talked about, we'll talk about them next week, and you won't have to worry about that. So I know we'll have some Owlboy and Mercenary Kings and among others. So lots of games to talk about. We're probably not going to stage the Mystery History again, but that's okay. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening or watching, and have a good day. Giddy up. I've never done this before, but Casey doesn't know I'm doing it, so let's try to sneak one past him. But I wanted to read a couple emails from some great guys that we got. Casey would never allow me to do this, so this first one comes from Jonathan Boyden. The subject is called Pepsi is Terrible, and it goes on to say Coke for life. He says ask us a few questions. We'll get to that in a future episode. Then he says, Pepsi is disgraceful. Thanks, Jonathan. And thank you, Jonathan. That made me feel better. Very good. I mean, you know. Next up, we have Danny the Bivs Bivens. He writes in. The subject is the cola debate. He says, I was going to just keep my comments to myself here, but for my boy Perry, I just had to speak out. Coca-Cola is obviously the better drink. Cassie Gibbons can keep his super sweet sugary drink to himself and keep paying listeners to email into the show that Pepsi is better. Fact. The entire nation of Japan prefers Coke over Pepsi. Fact. 53.87% of Americans prefer Coke over Pepsi. Fact. 32.87% of Europeans prefer Coke over Pepsi. The rest of the population drink tea or juice. The entire population of Antarctica prefers Coke as well. If these numbers and cold, hard facts aren't scaring you, Casey, they should. Love the show. Love Danny the Bivs Bivens. Post, he says, you shouldn't search for these numbers online. I used a special Japan-only search engine that is region-locked, so you guys obviously won't get the same correct information that I'm getting here. And then he says, I'm obviously joking here, but Coke is better. We don't need to worry about that last part. You weren't joking. Everything you said was probably true, Danny. Thank you. And to Casey, what do you think about that, you big gym bot?